This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's Sweet 16 week later in the week. Thursday, Friday, Sweet 16, then Saturday, Sunday is the Elite Eight. Get to the Final Four next weekend, championship game that Monday night. Tomorrow, I will be with Mike Shope over at Roswell Park. We are going to be broadcasting live his show. I won't be on in this time slot tomorrow. I'll be on with Mike Shope in the afternoon tomorrow over at Roswell Park. So looking forward to that. And it's kicking off the Ride for Roswell, and obviously a great cause. Another great cause every year is the Micah Hyde Charity Softball Game for the Imagine for Youth Foundation. And it's my pleasure and honor every year to be a part of that as the on-field MC. Once again, it's happening this year. It's going to be on Sunday, May 4th. And welcoming right now on the Wester Hotline is former Bill safety Micah Hyde. Good morning, Micah. How are you, buddy?
Oh, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you right now? Where are you?
I'm in sunny San Diego right now.
Ooh, it's nice out there. I mean, is this? I know you guys like to travel a little bit. Now that you are officially retired, how much time is spent in San Diego, and how much time is going to be spent around the world?
I would love to be traveling around the world right now, but we got kids in school and MJ and T-ball and stuff, so it's kind of holding us down right now to their schedule. So. We got some things planned in the future, and obviously got the softball game, got a few other Imagine events planned in the near future. But after that, we plan on trying to get out of here for a little bit, but that's not going to be for a couple months.
What about coaching? You coaching T-ball? What? How involved are you?
Yes, yeah, so I'm an assistant coach on the on the MJ T-ball team. I'm not a big fan. He's the Red Sox, so. I'm not a big fan of the Red Sox, but one of the parents on the team is has some ties to Boston, so that's why they picked it. So, yeah, I'm assistant coach, and it's awesome, man. It's so fun to go out there every Wednesday night to practice, and Saturday is game day, so we got to get the boys hype and ready to swing the bat. So, it's good times right now.
Before we get to the softball game, Mike, you did announce officially your retirement recently from the National Football League. What went into that decision? And were you sure you were going to do it at the time? How much did you wrestle with it? It sounded like it was something. What you told us, you really kind of knew it was going to happen after the 2024 season.
Yeah, exactly. So after the 23 season, It was a long season. Obviously, injuries played a huge part into how, you know, the season ended for me. All last year, last offseason, I was, you know, still working out. And I told you guys once I got back to Buffalo in December that, you know, I was staying in shape and doing all type of stuff. But, you know, I knew once I went back for those last couple of months, I was done. That opening press conference that I had in December, I basically said the same thing. Like, I'm here to help any way I can. I don't even know if it's going to be playing football or not. But, you know, Sean and Bean were able to give me a chance to go back there and, you know, just be a part of it and help any way I could. And so I did that, and, you know, we came up a little bit short. But at the end of the day, man, it was kind of a cool way for me to close that chapter of my life. It's honestly an honor to be able to be in that building around those players, coaches, and, you know, staff members, and say that I'm done. So it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask you, what did it mean for you to be a Buffalo Bill? You came in 2017. You and Jordan were the first, you know, players that Sean signed that year when he took over, and you were really a big part of the rebirth of this franchise. And you stay here in Buffalo for 7 years, 8 years counting last year, actually. What did it mean for you to be a Buffalo Bill in your career?
When I first got there in 17, I didn't really know. You know, I was kind of, I said it to you before, I was like, what the hell am I doing, man? I showed up to the facility. It was not nearly as nice as Green Bay. Didn't have the winning culture that Green Bay had and all that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, man, we just, you know, with the likes of Poe and Tre'Davious and D-Doc and Lano and, you know, the following year getting Josh, Tremaine, Terry, you know, just all those guys, not to mention the guys we came in with Hauska and DeMarco and Lorenzo or Kyle, all these guys just that we, you know, stepped in the building with. We just went to work, man. We just put our heads down and worked. And next thing you know, stuff just started going our way, winning a lot of games. And to look back, you know, over the last 8 years to see where it was at to where it is now is awesome. And obviously, you know, we want to continue to keep moving forward and get the job done and win that Super Bowl. That's always the goal. But I'm forever a fan of that organization because of the people in that community and people in that building and the players and the coaches, like I mentioned. And to give me that last chance to go back just meant the world to myself and my family. So, we say goodnight to our kids every night. We say, I love you. And they say, go Bills. That's where we're at. You know, we forever going to be Bills fans. And so we just love Western New York.
You were a part of some great moments, obviously. You mentioned that 2017 season. I think the thing that sticks out, if I asked a random Bills fan, Micah, like, what's a great Micah Hyde moment? They may say it's breaking the drought and him being a part of that team in the locker room and watching that. Yeah, there's individual moments. But for fans, is that for you number one? Is that the top of the list? Where would you put that?
That's definitely up there. I mean, we've won a lot of, you know, big games in Buffalo, playoff games, regular season games. I just think it's honestly the people, man. It's the people and that I was able to do it with. And I think that, you know, 30 years from now, you know, I'll obviously remember all the plays that I made and the games that we won and all that type of stuff. But, like, it's so, you know, people say this all the time. It's about the people you meet. It's about the relationships. It really is. Like, if you know, I could never talk about football ever again, but I could just, you know, be able to hang out with, you know, Poe and Tre'Davious and Taryn and, you know, call up Sean and call up Bean and, you know, hang out with Josh out here in California. Like, just stuff like that is where I'm happiest, you know. And so that's really the most magical moment for me being in Buffalo.
When you signed with the Buffalo Bills, you were 27 years old. 8 years later, Josh Allen is the MVP. He's about to get married. You've seen him on and off the field grow. What have you seen from your buddy Josh Allen as the quarterback and as the person?
I'm extremely proud of him, man. And obviously, he comes from a good background, so it's not like he developed this over the last 8 years of being in Buffalo. He's the perfect person to represent, you know, Buffalo, New York, and the Bills organization. But just the way he's grown, you know, mentally on the football field, but then mentally off the football field, like, just the way, like, life is coming to him. And, you know, he's the MVP of the National Football League. That there's one guy in the league that, you know, gets that honor. And there's no worry in my mind that that's going to change who he is. Like, he's just a homegrown dude. You could talk to him about anything. You could, you know, we've said this all the time, he's just a big ass kid that goes out there and plays football. And I, most of the time, go ahead and say he realizes what the hell he's doing out there and how he's, you know, running over defensive ends and running past corners. And like, he's just a freak of nature. And so, just forever thankful to be able to cross paths with him. You know, I'm lucky enough already that cross paths with Aaron Rodgers and then go right into Josh Allen. So, man, it's, I'm forever thankful for not only be able to see him play, but also our relationship off the field.
Micah Hyde joining me here on the Western Hotline. Micah, you got a chance to work a little bit alongside Cole Bishop last year, going into his second year, a big year for the second-year player. What did you see from him last year, and where do you think that this kid can go?
Yeah, I would say when I first got back there in December, just seeing how big Cole is. You know, he's bigger than what I thought he was. You know, he's bigger than me. He's bigger than Poe. Like, he's bigger than what we've seen in the safety room around for a while. And so that was eye-opening. He's very athletic. He's very smart. And I think that once the years start to pile up for him, he's going to be a great player in the league. You know, you don't just hop in day one and start, you know, making plays and becoming the all-pro safety. You got to experience some stuff. And I think as the years go on, you know, you start to learn how the game moves and how the playbook is and when you can take risks and, you know, reading the quarterback and reading the tight ends or receivers that you're guarding and stuff like that. So it's really a mental game. So I feel like as he gets more experience down the road, he'll develop that. And he's going to be a great player. And obviously he has, you know, Sean looking over him. He has Bobby. He has Joe. You know, he's playing alongside Rapp, which I love playing alongside Rapp. He's a smart guy. I love him to death. And so, you know, and then he has someone like D-Ham in there too with a little bit of experience, and they just brought him back. So there's going to be a little bit like a competitive battle, as there always is in the safety room and in each and every room. And so it's going to spark some good competition between all of us.
What did Bobby Babich mean to you as a position coach, and now him being a coordinator and seeing that happen for you? What does that mean?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm extremely happy for him, just the way he's been able to work his ass off and get up the ranks to defensive coordinator now. And obviously Sean trusted him enough to go out there and develop a game plan and work together and, you know, get the defensive positions to win ball games. So I'm extremely proud of him. But I've always said, you know, Bobby's one of the smartest coaches I've ever been around. Like, when we got there in 17, you know, he's only, what, 4 or 5 years older than me, I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, he would have his time for, I'm like, dude, like, shut up. Like, well, you're just talking so much, but I feel like he does it on purpose to a point where he just has, you have that voice in your head as you're playing that football game where you know, like, okay, what's Bobby saying right here? How does Bobby see this? You know, so he kind of takes what you learn in the classroom and he just installs it to you one by one. And it may be sometimes he's just pressing a lot, but then, you know, you get in the game, you make a play, and he kind of looks at you like, yeah, you know, we talked about that. So he's going to prepare each and every player on the defense to go out there and play well. You just have to listen to every single thing that he's saying and be very detailed with your film study, and you'll go out there and make a lot of plays.
Micah Hyde's charity softball game is coming back to Buffalo Salem Field on May 4th of this year. Micah, even though you're not a member officially of the Buffalo Bills roster anymore, why is it important for you to maintain this relationship with Buffalo and the charity softball game?
Yeah, you know, this is a big thing for me, Sal, because even last year, you know, as I spoke to you, you know, I wasn't really on the team back then. And I was like, man, you know, this is kind of weird. Should I do it? Should I not do it? And, I, you know, at the end of the day, like, this is something that we started in Buffalo, and our, you know, foundation has really benefited from this game. And, you know, we love going back and hosting this event. And so for me, in my mind, I'm like, how do we kind of make this thing evolve into something else and to something we can carry, you know, going forward? Obviously my name's attached to it, so everyone associates the game with me. But it, you know, we're trying to evolve it into a overall just charity game. And so that's why, this year, all the proceeds, every single dollar is going to be split evenly between all the players on the team that have nonprofits. And so right now I think there's 8 guys. So whatever the pot is, we're all just splitting it, I think, 8 different ways. So that's a way to be able to generate some money for each and every guy's nonprofit. And ultimately, like, yeah, we do a lot of stuff in Buffalo and in Western New York. But at the same time, you know, when you got 8 different guys on the team that have 8 different foundations that are all – pinpoint in Western New York, it gives that community more you know, role models, more voices to be able to go into these schools and go into these whatever it may be to talk to these kids and stuff like that. So, you know, I think that the way this game is going is really cool. And so we're just asking the community to continue to support it, because it's no longer just about the Imagine for Youth and what we're doing. It's about every player's nonprofit that's on the team.
No doubt about it. And people can still go to Bisons.com and at the Salem Field box office as well to check into tickets for the May 4th game. Tell us a little bit and our listeners about Imagine for Youth. Yes, there's a lot of charities involved, a lot of players who have foundations and charities, but you've been with Imagine for Youth for a long time. What is this all about?
So Imagine for Youth, man, we just go out there, we help. Honestly, we just help kids any way we can. That's what it's come down to. You know, whether if it's academics, athletics, even, you know, medical, we've been able to tap into different communities, whether if it's Buffalo, which a lot of it has been in Buffalo because of the softball game and generate all the revenue there. But then my hometown of Foster, Ohio, and even, you know, the in Northwest Ohio territory, and then into Iowa, where I went to school, and even into Detroit. So we've been able to tap into some cool communities and do some cool things, Kicks for Kids events where we hand out, you know, a whole bunch of shoes each and every Christmas. Obviously, you guys know about the softball game, my football camp in my hometown. That's 500 free kids in June. So there's so many events that we're doing throughout the year that, you know, this softball game is a huge fundraiser for us to be able to continue to do the things that we do in Western New York. And so we're always going to try to give back to the kids, because obviously that's our future. And we're trying to develop good kids. And I think that's what this world kind of needs, is just good kids that have, you know, role models and, you know, are being steered in the right direction so that they can impact the future and impact the kids, you know, for them in the future.
Team Lammy Productions, a big part of it. There's a tailgate. There's a silent auction. There's a whole bunch of great stuff that happens. That we pack the house there. I'm honored to be a part of it. I really appreciate it. It's going to be a great day on Sunday, May 4th. I appreciate you coming back to Buffalo and doing all of this. I mean, when you come back, what do you like to do when you come back to Buffalo? You hang out with people, go get some wings, right? You and Amanda, it's a big part of your life still, and it's going to be for a long time.
Yeah. So we still haven't technically sold the house yet.
Okay.
We're going to go back to the house, and I'm sure everyone from Michigan and Ohio, everyone's going to crash the Buffalo house. We call it the Hyde Hotel for the past 8 years, because everybody just shows up and
I love it.
Sleeps on the floor and does all that type of stuff. So, you know, we're excited for everybody. We're going to get some wings. We're going to, you know, walk around probably our neighborhood with, you know, a lot of people that we've met over the years. And I'm sure they'll be excited. We'll be excited. So, My goal, Amanda and I's goal for this game each and every year is to make it a reunion to where we can host and see the community and see the people that really helped us out throughout the year. So we love it.
And by the way, on Instagram, everybody, you can check it out, Hyde Charity Softball. Just go to Instagram, Hyde Charity Softball. There's updates on who's playing and what's going on. One of my favorite stories is last year you came back for the press conference. And by the way, there will be another press conference later next month, and we'll bring that to you. Michael will be here for that, and he'll tell you all about it. But when Amanda told me that she got up one morning, she thought you were sleeping, and then all of a sudden you walked in through, like, the garage door, and she's like, what are you doing? And you said, I just ran a 10K, and you PR'd, and you hadn't even run it in months. Dude, that's sick.
Yeah, you know, I like to do some crazy things to see if I can do it. Yesterday, Amanda took me to our first Pilates class, which she says hi, and she misses
me. Wow.
She took me to a Pilates class, and so, you know, we were both on that, I don't even know what it's called, on the little machine thing, just shaking, you know, abs were shaking like crazy and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm always down to do any type of workout that's gonna push me a little bit. So, you know, I never know what it might be. I might start swimming tomorrow, or who knows.
Well, that's great, because I want to wrap up with what the future holds for Micah Hyde, because you do all these things, you never know where life's going to take you, and I appreciate that, and I love it. But your buddy, your old teammate, Kyle Williams, is now coaching at LSU. He's a defensive line coach, as we've seen. I never thought Kyle would go into coaching. I thought it would interrupt his golf game too much, right? You're starting to coach a little bit. You had a taste of doing a little bit of that over the last couple of years. People have asked me, does Micah Hyde have any ambition to ever be a coach at that level?
I will never say never. But right now, I love where my life is. I love you know, where we're at with the family, with the wife, you know, us, you know, taking the kids to school and getting them ready for, you know, the little sports and stuff like that. And all the, you know, side stuff that we have with the foundation, also some projects, some real estate projects that we have on the side. And so it's keeping us busy. So right now, I would not say no. I would never coach. But, you know, if the opportunity presents itself and it's a deal that we can't pass up, you never know.
Micah, give Amanda our love. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. I appreciate you coming on. And once again, I'm honored to be a part of the charity softball game and being a part of the Imagine for Youth and everything that you guys got going on. So we look forward to it. And thanks a lot again.
Man, Sal, can't wait to see you, man. Well, it's going to be a good day on May 4th. And let's go have some fun.
You got it. We'll keep promoting that for you. Thanks a lot, Micah. Have a great day, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Talk to you. Bye.
All right, you got it. That is Micah Hyde, former Bills safety. A great day, by the way. May 4th is going to be awesome, and you just hope, you know, that it's warm enough, right? Because you never know what you get that time of year, but it's warm enough to play softball, and it's dry because we've had. But I will tell you, we had a rain a few years ago, Josh. This is one of those deals where it was raining in the morning. They had to put the tarp on, and there were a few guys who went out there and a couple offensive linemen who were doing like belly flops on the tarp, basically.
I was at that one, actually. I was sitting in the rain for that one. It was a great time, though. Like, it stopped raining about, I don't know, like 2 innings in or so. It was just like lightly drizzling for a little bit, but it was a great time. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. So good. So you go to it. You know, this is it's a really fun event. It's a, you know, and Josh, 16,000 people. I mean,
yeah,
they sell out a charity softball game.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, everyone wants to see Josh Allen hit a ball onto the highway. Like, he's done it before.
No doubt about it. And we'll see what they do with the charity softball, the home run hitting contest, the derby that happens as well. So it's going to be a really great time. That is May 4th. That is, again, let me just give you the information here, folks, okay? Tickets are on sale right now, May 4th, Sale and Field in Buffalo. To secure your tickets for the 5th annual Micah Hyde Charity Softball Game, make sure you go to HydeCharitySoftball.com or you can go to Bisons.com, the Sale and Field box office as well. Speaking of that, opening day this week on Friday is opening day. You can just go down there to the game. You can go up to the box office, talk about the softball game. You can go online, bisons.com. You can go to hidecharitysoftball.com. You can check it out. So make sure you do that. It's going to be really, really awesome day on May 4th. Mike is going to be back in town next month for a press conference. It's going to be right around the draft time, a little before that. So he'll be in town for that. And we'll talk to him a little bit more. And I think that's actually going to happen at Sale and Field. So we'll bring you that as well. In the meantime, speaking of a month, that's when the NFL draft is coming up. So let's dive into that a little bit when we come back. Just want to talk about the Bills roster, where they stand right now. Some options for them at pick number 30, how that looks going forward, because there's still some time between now and when the NFL draft is and starts on April 24th, less than a month from today. There's still some work they can do on the roster. Still some free agent stuff they can do. But in the meantime, the draft is front and center. Saw some theories floating around about what the Bills might want to do or what they could do. And I love this time of year because it's that time of year to kind of conjure up your own trades, your own thoughts, be creative. We'll do that when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Apparently, I did not see this until today. Josh, did you see this? That apparently there was a quote going around from Deion Sanders about his son, Shador, and he said he wants him in New York, or it better be New York. There was something like that. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. That's interesting.
But he has said he said it's a lie. He said this is not true, that this happened. Let's hope it's New York was what was quoted in there's some Twitter accounts and there's these big quotes. Let's hope it's New York. And Deion has come out and said this is a lie. We're very thankful for whatever God chooses for them, meaning his kids. So yeah,
I wonder if it's some weird PR tactic, right? Like, oh no, I didn't say that, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's weird. Interesting.
There's a Twitter account, I'm sorry, an Instagram account, apparently called Football Forever, that says, Deion Sanders on where his son, Shador Sanders, will be drafted. Let's hope it's New York, is the quote. And then under it, Deion writes, this is a lie, we're thankful for whatever God chooses for them. Oh, man. You know, and I love Deion. I do. I think that he's great for college sports. He's one of the most fantastic like athletes I've ever watched. I think Bo Jackson might be the greatest. I think Deion is right there. He's amazing. And I think he really surpassed my expectations as a coach. And listening to people like Lewis Riddick talks about him a lot and how like he's incredibly, incredibly competitive. You could see that. I do think, though, you know, if you're a team drafting him, you have to drafting Shador. I think you have to have in the back of your head that, like, in some way, shape, or form, Deion comes with him, right? He's going to be a part of that. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing, but it might have to be something you have to manage in some way, right? Because if things do start to go south or, you know, Shador doesn't see the field right away, is Deion, who, with his big personality and his platform, is that does that cause a problem? Again, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a great thing to have Deion Sanders as a part and his kid as a part of your program. And he shouldn't be held against Shador. But I think if you're a team, you have to have a way to figure out and think about from a PR standpoint, managing that and just saying, look, his dad is this big time superstar. He's got this platform. He's always been his coach. And there's always been rumors about, remember, like, what was the guy's name? LaVar Ball. It was LaVar, right? The guy's name.
Yeah. LaMelo right? Ball's dad.
Yeah, Mello. Yeah, exactly. And like that's a different scenario, but you still had to deal with whenever something would happen, him going and having these platforms that people gave him. In this case, Deion doesn't even have to have it given to him. He has one as the head coach of Colorado and who he is. So I do think you have to think about that in at least when it comes to quarterback.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Facts, though, this is not considered a really great, you know, quarterback class, but there are people who tell you, and you know, Shador Sanders is, you know, a legitimate first round pick. That's not the case that he isn't, but this is not the type of quarterback class maybe we're used to or we've seen the last couple of years. I would say I do think Cam Ward, to me, is the best quarterback coming out in this year's class, and it is appearing more and more like he is going to be the number one overall pick, at least if you kind of look at some of the tea leaves and the pro day that he worked out. Marcel Louis-Jacques, our buddy down in Miami, he used to work here in Buffalo. He has a story up at ESPN.com about his pro day, and I guess he crushed it, did really well, and it's appearing though it's going closer and closer to, you know, him being the number one overall pick. That would be, of course, from the Tennessee Titans. What's interesting is after that, let's just say the Titans take Cam Ward. If the Browns then choose, they could choose Shador Sanders, no doubt. There's a thought they're going to go Abdul Carter. And if they get Abdul Carter on opposite Myles Garrett, man, that's great. But who's the quarterback? It's Kenny Pickett. Really interesting. And obviously at three is the Giants with Shador Sanders. I don't want to see Travis Hunter go to the Patriots. I like Travis Hunter. I think he's fantastic. But right now it looks like that could very well be the case. Now, they still have some work to do around their offensive line. And at wide receiver, probably too high for a wide receiver right there. Travis Hunter can play some wide receiver. We know that. But I don't want to see Travis Hunter in a Patriots uniform. That would not sit well with me. But, you know, he's going to be very highly picked. I think he's the best overall football player in this draft, Travis Hunter. But, you know, if you need a quarterback, I think Cam Ward is probably the guy that you're going to choose here. And I do think Cam Ward has a chance to be a good NFL quarterback. Maybe not right away. And the Tennessee Titans are going to have to, if they take him or whoever, you know, really develop him. Let's go to John in Clarence Center. Hi, John. You're on WGR on the Extra Point Show.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I've seen parents getting involved at all levels that I've played. And very, very seldom does it turn out positive. I personally think Deion Sanders is an incredible athlete. But once his son is drafted, that's where it should end, right there. It puts so much pressure on management and coaches, and I just think it leads down a very bad hole. And I've seen it, like you mentioned, LaVar Ball, that happens, and you're seeing it to some level with LeBron James and his son. I just think parents should know their place when their kids get drafted. and just sit back and watch their career and watch the games, be proud and enjoy it and sit back. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Yeah. John, I don't think many people would disagree with you in the overall sentiment of what you're saying. I don't disagree with what you're saying. It is hard sometimes for a parent, right, to do that. But especially when you get to that level, of course. I think even at the lower levels, we all do this and we all have this. And I've coached Little League. I've coached high school sports, everything. And, you know, there is the coach is the coach, the parent's the parent. But let's just take that part of it out and go to the professional level. Yeah, I mean, if you're a professional team, you draft somebody, you know, that it's a job now. It's a job. That's their career. That's their job. And I would hope that Deion is sincere and right, but he's going to care. Every parent is. I mean, you can't blame any parent for caring and want to see your kid treated well, right? But you hope that he does take that step back because I think he's the only coach Shadour's ever had in football, in high school, and I think he was a part of the high school, maybe not the head coach, but in college, and whether it's Jackson State or Colorado, and, you know, that's an adjustment. And we'll see how Shadour reacts to it, too, wherever he goes. It's really interesting. It's an interesting dynamic with Deion, especially because of who he is. And I'm of the age now. Josh, you didn't watch Deion play, right? You're too young. You never saw Deion play. He was retired by the time you started watching football, right?
Yeah, no, I never saw him play live.
I mean, I think you understand how great he was. Have you watched highlights of him? You ever gone back and watched how incredible he was as an athlete?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, he was just, you know, he was the guy. Like he changed the game.
Yeah, and not only that, but you know, Bo Jackson gets all the credit for, and not all the credit, but he gets so much credit for, you know, playing football and baseball. Deion did that too. You know, I mean, he's an incredible athlete, baseball player. There was another guy, Mark Witten. He was a football and baseball player professional. There's been a few guys who've done that, but Deion was incredible. And, you know, his name, his brand, everything. Yeah, that's going to go along with that with Shadour. With the Bills, though, they picked number 30 overall in this year's draft. And I've read a lot of mock drafts now. A lot of mocks have them taking a defensive lineman, and I think that's right. Some mocks have them taking a wide receiver. I am not in that camp right now for the Bills. Am I against them taking a wide receiver? No, that's not what I'm saying. And maybe a little bit, I guess, but here's my thought. And I'm trying to bring it from the way I read the roster, okay? The way I read the roster. And the way I read how they operate, the Bills, which is this. Last year, they went with this everybody eats mentality. And even though they didn't have a ton of unbelievable passing stats with their pass catchers, they still had the league MVP at quarterback, won their division, and went to the AFC Championship game. I don't think this team has quite the appetite to have to go out and spend those kinds of resources on that kind of on that position. I respect the argument of anybody who says, well, they should. Now, that could change if you had a chance at a Jamar Chase or a T. Higgins, if he'd become available, or Justin Jefferson becomes a free agent, right? I get that. What I'm saying is, first round, 30th pick overall, where does that guy fit in with based on how they construct their roster and what their philosophy is? And I just don't think he does very much. It's bringing another Keon Coleman in, which is fine. But you're not, look what Keon Coleman is rookie year. Maybe it didn't go well at the end of the year, but he didn't have incredible stats, incredible numbers. It took a little while for that to start working, and it was working a little bit. I just don't see a receiver being a pick at 30 because you're going to be waiting on that guy, whereas you have other positions which you need more critically right now to make a bigger impact. Now, look, you don't draft for need. That's not what I'm saying. Because that'll take you down a road you don't want to go. That's when you get to, we need a corner, let's take, and you get Kyrie Elam, and it just doesn't work out. You do draft a position. It's always a nuanced point. There's need versus best player available. Need versus best player. It is best player available, but you have to get the nuance of this. It's best player available as long as it's at a position where you can use them. That's what it is. Because if the best player available at pick 30 is a quarterback, you're not taking a quarterback. even though I'll tell you, you take the best player available, Brandon Bean says you're taking the best player available and you stick to your board. You're not taking the true best player available if it's at a position you absolutely don't need. But if it's at a position that you're going to use them, that's where the best player available comes in. That's going to be, to me, at defensive line and at corner mostly. You could use a receiver. I just don't know how much you're going to use him compared to these other positions we're talking about. So that's why I think the Bills are right now. And Brandon, by the way, Brandon Bean was on a podcast with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andrew Whitworth last week. I tweeted out a bunch of quotes. One of the things he said that was notable to me was at this point, he said, at this point, anything can change. They'd probably use more of their picks on the defensive side. I think that's a clue, folks, right there. That he's telling you. He's telling you right there. They're looking defense in this draft. And to me, that means their first pick is defense. I think out of their first three picks, let's say they hold their first and their 2 second-round picks, they have three picks in the first, you know, in the first two rounds. I think it's the over-under on defensive players is two. I think it's two. That's what they're going to pick. At least. It might be three. I'm saying it's no less than two. They're not taking one defense and two offense. I'd be stunned at this point. It would have to really be a guy they totally fall in love with and know they're going to use him. But where is that going to happen? It's only wide receiver, unless something happens with James Cook. So one of the theories from people is, hey, maybe they think this thing with Cook is going south. They're going to draft a running back, and they're going to trade James Cook. Look, I would never say never in this league, especially after a lot of the things that we've seen from James Cook's social media and the fact that Brandon Bean, we know he's not going to pay as much as what appears James Cook wants. And this is a really good running back class. I still have a hard time getting there. He's still under contract for a year. He's still very good for what you do. They're trying to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibilities. I just can't see that happening right now. That's one of the theories about what the Bills could do. Another is being creative. The Bills moving up pretty high in the draft. How high do you have to get, though, to get? You know, if it's for a defensive tackle, I would say, why? This is a really deep defensive tackle class. You don't have to do that. If it's for a corner, maybe a little different. Maybe a little different. You know, you could justify the move if someone like Will Johnson, who, by the way, has family here in Western New York, starts to fall. You know, so there's a lot of ways you could go about this. Owners meetings next week, league meetings. Owners are there, GMs are there, head coaches are there. A lot of times, that's when stuff starts to percolate as far as trades, where teams want to position themselves. So we'll see where it goes. All right, we'll take a timeout, one final timeout here. Then we'll get you to Sabres Live at the top of the hour after one more segment. Sabres take on the Ottawa Senators tonight at home. So we'll touch on that a little bit when we come back, and we'll wrap up the Tuesday Extra Point Show for you here on WGR. What am I seeing? Is there something going on between Nate and Joe in a 40-yard dash?
Yep, that came up this morning.
Okay. I just saw something on social media about that. Were they yelling at each other about it?
May or may not be a 40-yard dash coming soon. Sometime. We don't know when, but there will be a 40-yard dash sometime soon.
I might have to enter that.
How fast do you think you can go? You think you can get faster than, what's his name, Xavier Restrepo, the Miami receiver that...
How fast did he run?
He had a decent time at the combine and then ran at Miami's Pro Day yesterday and ran a 5.8 or a 4.
Yeah,
four,
I know I can or, because no, sorry, I was not, I was not 5. I was timed 4. Last year 4. At Bill. 8. Oh, 4.8. No, sorry, no, no, sorry. No. I'm not running 4.8. My goal is to run my age. I'll be 52 in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah.
But that's not bad for a 52-year-old
dude. No, that'd be good. I think that's the time Nate was shooting for, too. I think that was what his goal was. So if you do that, yeah, maybe you'd beat Nate.
Maybe. I mean, I just letting you know. Last year I did it. Like, had no practice, wasn't trying, warming up for it or anything like that. We just did it on a whim. I was out there at St. John Fisher. We were with a few people. I know Matt Perino was out there, and we did it. I think at that time it was either 5.3 or 5.4. And I'm like, you know what? And now I'm like, actually, I think would if I'm ramping up and getting ready for it, my goal to run my age. So that's Nate's goal.
I guess so. I think that's what he said this morning. So I guess we'll have to see how it all shakes out. But I'm excited to see it. I don't know who to put my money on here. I don't know who's going to win.
All right. Well, I might have to enter this contest if they're going to do this. Maybe we'll do it at Bills training camp, right at St. John Fisher. Do something like that, you know? Could do it that way. Sabres tonight, they are taking on the Ottawa Senators. It is the return of Dylan Cousins to Buffalo tonight. No Josh Norris apparently in the lineup. Is that what Lindy said today? My apologies for not knowing specifically.
Correct.
He was on earlier.
Yeah, that's correct. So Norris is out. Greenway was not skating this morning. I don't think he's playing tonight. I don't know if that one's confirmed yet. And then Jiří Kulík was on the ice this morning for morning skate, but I don't know if his availability tonight is confirmed either. I'm trying to find some tweets right now, but I'm not seeing anything on Kulík or Greenway for their availability tonight.
Okay, so that's tonight at 7, downtown, Sabres versus Senators. Senators in a playoff spot right now. They are fighting for that spot. And you know what? I think keep the Rangers out. That's cool. Just keep winning. I'm okay with the Senators making it. I'd like to see Dylan Cousins and get into the playoffs. That's fine. I have no ill will. I know a lot of you do because of the Sabres-Senators rivalry from 15 years ago or whatever, but I'm fine with it. So if they want to keep winning and keep the Rangers out, that I would be totally okay with that. Either way, Sabres tonight, though, take on the Ottawa Senators. Maybe the Sabres can get a win tonight. We'll have the pregame coverage for you here at 6 p.m. on WGR. The puck drops at 7 downtown on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. I will not be in this chair in this time slot tomorrow. You will hear Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. Josh will be along as well. I will be tomorrow with Mike Shope at 3 p.m. We're going to be at Roswell Park Cancer Institute, and we're going to be over there tomorrow doing the show with him. Bulldogs away, so I'll be with Mike tomorrow at 3 o'clock over at Roswell, so check us out there. And then on Thursday, Josh, when we come back, Pete Lembo, UB head coach, is going to join us on Thursday. So how about that? We're going to Pete Lembo on the air on Thursday. UB spring practices are going on. We'll take a timeout here, and when you come back, you're going to have Sabres Live, One Bills Live. Show up with the Bulldog after that in WGR.